today is Matt Winkler. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on my show.
Glad to be here.
What do you
think? I'm glad that we're going to get through it this time.
Yeah, we tried this, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I'm just assuming it was your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, it was my fault that the batteries ran out.
The batteries ran out. That's true. Then I had to fly out. And so, but I digress. What do you do?
So I'm a group program manager at Microsoft, where I work on our big data technologies. And so that includes HD Insight, which is our managed Hadoop service, as well as the Azure Data Lake analytics service as well, which is a new service we announced about a month ago.
Okay. That's funny. I heard the word data lake more than a month ago. But it meant it's just kind of evolved in what its meaning is, right?
Yeah, so when we started talking about it back in April at Build, we were really talking about a component that we now call the Data Lake Store, which is designed to really hold as much data as you want to throw at it and not subject you to any of the limits that you typically see. So you can have petabyte-sized files, you can have virtually unlimited account size, because we don't want you to have to think about the limitations of the storage system when you're writing your apps.
Okay, so that's still part of it, but it's only a piece now the overall data lake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What else is in there?
The other two pieces are the HD Insight service, which has been available for quite some time now.
Yeah.
HD Insight's our managed Hadoop service, and what we mean when we say that is you can click, and in a couple of clicks, you can deploy a fully running Hadoop cluster that's configured to run Hive and Pig or Spark and Storm, and we run it for you. And so what that means is that if something breaks at 3 a.m, somebody on my team wakes up, we give you an SLA on that cluster, and we run that on your behalf. And so that gives you kind of the power of all of the Hadoop ecosystem, which is the open source big data ecosystem, but you don't have to worry about kind of the administrative overhead of running a cluster.
Okay. And is there really some manual intervention in these? A lot of the platform as a service has just the fabric just sort of takes care of when things go bad.
Yes. I mean, there can be. We have a lot of service healing actions that'll take place naturally if something does occur. But, there are instances where, someone will get called.
Okay. Interesting. So if somebody's working with Hadoop technologies, those open source tool set, I should say, right? Then it should be a natural fit to go from that to HD Insight, right?
Absolutely.
Tools will be the
because
same.
It's just Hadoop.
It's just Hadoop, okay.
You can deploy it on Windows or Linux, which makes it pretty seamless for you to be able to take an existing Hadoop deployment and move that into HD Insight. The other benefit that you get is kind of just the general benefit of the cloud, which is you can scale those clusters up and down on demand.
Hmm.
And so we have customers that will scale up those clusters during times of intensive processing and then scale it down so that they've always got an endpoint available for ad hoc queries.
Okay.
But they're not incurring the cost of running 500 nodes 24 hours a day when they're not actually saturating that.
Okay. Yeah, that's really the big advantage. Probably the single biggest advantage of cloud computing, I think, is this flexibility and the amount of processing power you're throwing out at any given time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a bit cliched because it's like, the elasticity of compute is what everybody talks about with the cloud. But it really is something that, for big data workloads, it can be a lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
All of us would probably have a whole lot of paperwork to fill out if we wanted to requisition a 500-node cluster.
Right.
And then we'd feel really bad when we got it because we'd have to justify the cost.
Right. We could sell it on eBay like 2 hours later when we're done using it.
Right.
And buy it back
the
next day.
We have a customer that's a large federal tax agency. It's not the tax agency in the United States, but it's a country whose name, if I said, you'd recognize.
Okay.
And
is it France? I'm just kidding.
You recognize that name, but it is not. But they had a mandate in the country that all taxable transactions had to be logged by the logged to the government, to the taxing agency.
Okay.
And they had 4 years worth of this data, and so this was like billions and billions and billions of records.
Right.
And so what they were able to do was for 2 or 3 weeks, they ran well over 1,200 nodes, processing all of that, catching up on the last 4 years. And, in a steady state to process kind of just the incoming, they run about a 100-node cluster.
Okay.
And so that allowed them to take advantage of kind of, hey, give me 1,200 nodes for 3 weeks.
Hmm.
And that'll be expensive, but it'll be a whole lot less expensive than building an entire data center for 1,200 nodes.
Well, of course, yeah.
Which I only needed for 3 weeks.
Right. So that technology, what you just described, has been around for a few years.
Yes.
In Azure.
Yeah.
And now that's the part you were talking about earlier, the data storage, the very, very large data storage for large files, petabytes of data. That's new, and that integrates with it. In other words, the data that we're processing could be stored in that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So today, if you go and deploy an HD Insight cluster, there's a choice in the provisioning workflow that allows you to attach to a data lake storage account, which would let you take advantage of that.
Okay. And what's the third piece?
Third piece of that is a new service that we call the Data Lake Analytics Service. And the best way to think about the Data Lake's Analytics Service is that it's really oriented around jobs. Kind of the unit of management, the thing I create, the thing I run, is an individual job. And so you can think about just authoring a query, throwing it at the service, setting a slider for I want this much power, and then we go run that job. You only pay for the job, and then that's that. And so it's super easy to get started. There's very little overhead from a cost perspective, and you get as much scale as you need on demand. And it's built on technology that internally we use in a system called Cosmos, where we regularly run jobs that run across tens of thousands of nodes.
Give me an example of a job that would run.
When Bing indexes the internet.
Ah, okay.
Right, and does all
of
the...
That's a lot of data.
That's a lot of data, yeah.
I always
wondered
why it's I can search the entire internet in like a fraction of a second, but
yes.
I can't search my hard drive in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a really great index, and it's really, you know, it's computationally intensive and storage intensive to build that index. Served up to you.
Is Bing using it?
So Bing, the technology that it's built on is the same underlying technology.
Oh, okay. So they're using a variation of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Walk me through, as somebody that hasn't done a lot of big data analysis, how do I get started in this, and what skills and tools do I need to use?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We see a lot of people come to big data from a variety of backgrounds. We see some people who come from a BI background where they're very SQL-oriented, or a data warehousing background. We see people who come from more of a statistic background or machine learning background where you're looking to do data science.
Yep.
You know, and then we also see people who we talk about them as data developers. And they're really the people who are responsible for building and maintaining the data pipelines in an organization. And if you think about an organization that starts to leverage data for analytics, you start having this problem of how do I collect all the data? How do I get it in the right schema? How do I catalog it? All of these kind of challenges push on this data developer skill set. And so those are the different kind of backgrounds we see people come from. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're coming from a SQL background, the best thing to do is start off with something like Hive or start off with something like uSQL, which is the programming language that's contained in the analytics service. Okay. We can talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
And
what is Hive?
So Hive is one of the open source projects in the Hadoop ecosystem that is SQL for big data. And when I say that, I mean everyone out there who's watching or listening who can write a SQL statement. So we could all, you know, most folks can walk up to the whiteboard and without even a compiler do select from where, group by. And what Hive allows you to do is to declare some schema on top of all of this data that you've got sitting there and then write SQL queries against that schema. And so everybody who can write a SQL query can write a Hive query. And so that's an easy way to get started. You can get started with HD Insight inside of Azure. All of the major Hadoop vendors have a downloadable VM that you can use if you want to run it locally. You know, get some data that you're interested in, or there's plenty of interesting sample sets of data out there.
I think Azure actually supplies some sample data that you can, download or import into your projects.
Yeah, you can also go to something like data.gov. In the United States has all sorts of various federal agencies and states that are required to submit all of this data. You know, you can get city crime data. There's the New York taxi data is available if you want to analyze, you know, the behavior of taxis in New York. You know, find something that's interesting to you
it's
and just kind
random.
Of and just and get started.
So now, what is uSQL?
Yeah, so uSQL is actually based on a programming language that we've been using inside of Microsoft for almost 10 years now, called Scope. And this is part of that Cosmos system that I mentioned earlier. And the best way to think about uSQL is that it's really SQL designed for big data. And so what we started off with is the familiar SQL syntax that everybody knows, select from where. And we've added the following things to it. The first thing that we added were constructs to read unstructured data or to do schema on read. Okay. And what that means is let me point at a text file, and rather than have to load that into a table, let me just describe that I need to extract these five columns that are these types from this file that's comma separated.
Okay.
And so that was the first thing that we added. Is the ability to kind of easily get that data and treat it just like a table.
Okay.
The second thing that we added was a data flow construct. Because most of the time with big data jobs, it's not just one SQL query that you're going to write. You're going to chain a series of them together. And so we can do A equals extract from, you know, pull out some interesting data from a CSV file. B equals a SQL query over A. C equals a further refinement of that or joining it with some other data set. The next thing that we added was .NET extensibility. Because one of the things we find is that frequently for big data tasks, SQL is not the best language to express manipulating the values.
Okay.
I want to get in and I want to split out strings and do string manipulation, okay, or I have some existing business logic about how do I approve a customer or detect fraud.
SQL is great for sets of data, but maybe not for individual operations like
that. Right. And also there's some things that are cleaner in our heads to express as procedural logic, right, rather than trying to contort ourselves into a relational model. And so other systems that are SQL-based have extensibility to bring user code, mm-hmm, but there's a lot of overhead. You've got to compile an assembly. You've got to deploy it. You've got to register it. With uSQL, we've made it very easy to just inline include C-sharp code. And so it's a very easy on-ramp for a C-sharp developer who knows SQL to get started and be pretty productive.
Is there an IDE to help you with this?
Yeah, so Visual Studio. And one of the nice things about building this on top of a system that we've been running internally, this is the system that runs those jobs on tens of thousands of nodes. And so we've spent a lot of time building tools for debugging, monitoring, tuning, optimizing those jobs at scale. Let me understand the efficiency. Is there a place where I'm wasting time? Is there a place where I'm spending too much time?
I see.
And so all of those debugging tools and monitoring tools are built into Visual Studio. And so you can get those today.
In which versions of Visual Studio?
2015, 2013, 2012, as long as you install one service pack or something.
Is it the enterprise only or is it all SKUs?
All SKUs. So you can get the community edition. You can get started for free and start partying on data.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It's kind of fun.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think we should have?
No, I mean, that's an overview of the big data offerings that are in Azure. I could go on and talk for a very long time about all of these.
Let's next time we get together, let's dive deep into one of those.
Okay.
But for now, we'll just leave it at the overview.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care. I have many friends whose lives are a whole lot better because of technology.